From hedges to hardwood.
Hello and welcome to SEC East Champion Week.
Yes, it is.
Of Hedge Talk. I'm Marty.
Dogala.
And I'm Wes.
Quite an eventful weekend in Athens, despite the lackluster performance on the field.
By the offense.
Why are you stealing my segment 6 seconds in?
I'm sorry. Otherwise, was your weekend memorable?
I'll say this. Now I'm stealing your segment. What was supposed to be a boring weekend of games turned out to be pure chaos.
Indeed it did. I was happily awake for the last quarter of Friday nights.
Did you see... I'll talk about it later.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
We'll cover that later.
Wes.
Good weekend.
Wes, do you have a nice segment for us today?
I got a few tidbits.
Okay, I may have something to add to your segment.
That's good.
But I think you probably have it covered, but we'll see a little later, I guess. All right. Are you ready to go, Dogla?
Let's trim some hedges. Let's get the sad news out of the way first.
All right.
Munson has left us, 89 years old, complications from pneumonia. Most of you listening already know by now. Have to ask, favorite call, what would you say?
I'm trying to think of a more obscure one.
Yeah. Obviously, the Lindsey Scott one's his most famous.
Well,
yeah.
In the hobnail boot.
And the hobnail boot. Right.
I mean, I'll have to say that's probably, that's really probably the first one I remember. Greatly. The hobnail boot. I wasn't there. So, of course, I was using what the mute button was invented to do and mute the color guy and turn on Munson.
Yeah, that was back before you had the 8 second delay on Dish Network or DirecTV.
Yeah, it was straight off the antenna, baby.
Right. You had to adjust the box before you could watch it. The antenna towards the east.
Coming in on channel 32, crystal clear.
At Tekoa.
Yep.
Which I don't understand why they have a CBS affiliate, but whatever.
Yeah, or 3G, but you know, it's cool. And a Super Walmart before we did. It's all right, it's sour grapes. But what was your favorite, Marty? Can you think of an obscure one that you... I enjoyed the video that was posted. Which one of you posted
that
video?
Oh, yeah, that was me. It was
the 06 Tech.
Yeah.
There was a lot of my gods in there. I do remember that call at the time.
Yeah, that was his last good one, I think.
I will have to say.
Also, the 2002 Auburn, I was at the game, but that was the first time we won the East in my lifetime.
Right.
I was about to say.
The SEC, for that matter.
I just feel like he sounded like the most, you know, rustic Larry, like, in that call, 2002, Auburn.
Yeah.
I mean, he's vintage
you
right
can
there.
Tell, you can tell his voice changed from even just the early 90s to the 2000s. You could tell a change.
Well, I mean, you know, he was famous for being the voice of the dogs, but I'm pretty sure that he would not want to be remembered for all of that and other stuff.
I mean, I can remember riding to Gainesville
State.
Tell
him the story about being at the Tech game.
Which Tech game? I forget.
Tech Clemson.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that, actually. What year was that? I believe it was
04. Yeah.
04, and I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this. A friend of mine had tickets to the Georgia Tech Clemson game, and it was the same weekend as our South Carolina game. I went to the Tech game like an idiot, but I wore headphones and listened to the Georgia game the entire time.
In the stadium.
In the stadium, sitting about eight rows up, watching Tech play Clemson, not paying a bit of attention, really, until our game was over. And I was listening to Munson make the calls. And I believe Green threw a couple picks that game. It was a tight game. We pulled it out in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. And
yeah,
we were sitting around a bunch of Clemson fans. They were like, I hate listening to Munson. He never tells the down and distance or the time. He just makes up random numbers, fourth down and a mile. And they thought I was a Clemson fan, apparently, and thought I was just cheering against South Carolina because I like the Tigers. But but I tried to make it pretty obvious that I was a dog fan and that they needed to shut their mouth about Munson.
I mean, he's a national treasure.
Oh, yeah.
The football landscape of America. I mean, there's a couple guys, but he kind of transcends the sport announcer.
This is kind of ironic due to my segment at the end of the podcast weekly, West Coast Hollywood. I can remember riding to Gainesville State in the mornings in my short time there, listening to Munson's movie reviews.
Oh, yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah, that was one of the more – he would just go to movies with random young girls.
Random young girls loved it. My role model. I mean, he was reviewing movies with a bunch of co-eds.
Which is good. I mean, it shows he actually watched the movie.
Right.
So.
I rather enjoyed it. So if you liked Munson's calls and you love movies, what better combination is there out there? So we'll miss him.
We'll miss him. But not tragic. Sad, but not tragic. 89 years old. He'd been sick for a while.
Yeah.
Now, going off to that big.
Do you think,
between the hedges.
What kind of tribute do you think the team will have? I feel like they're going to do something.
I think.
Maybe a sticker or more.
I really think you'll see a tribute at Tech this week. And if there isn't, I will be surprised and hate them even more.
What now, about the anything on like the uniform?
Probably. I just blanked. Does Tech wears home whites, right?
Yeah, typically.
We wear our road red. I mean, our home reds in that game at their place.
We could wear the black.
That's what I was about to say. I wouldn't put it past us to wear black. It might be a little bit overkill. Maybe just a sticker helmet like you're talking about.
Or a patch on the shoulder.
A helmet sticker instead of a sticker helmet.
Sticker helmet.
But I wouldn't be shocked to see black jerseys.
Now, back to get the sad news out of the way. Had to touch on that early.
Of course.
Game this past weekend, real thriller that was. We did clinch the East.
Hard.
We clinched it hard. We took it. I wouldn't say we clinched it hard. I think we just grabbed it with one hand and sort of slung it into the truck.
Okay.
But
I like that euphemism. It was good.
It was a predictable letdown game. Even, I mean, not many people gave Kentucky a chance, including me.
And including Vegas.
Including Vegas. The only real thing that concerns me is Murray's performance. Because the defense was still good.
Phenomenal.
I think they only allowed like 20 yards in the second half.
Oh, speaking of that, third quarter, total yardage advantage, 149 for UGA, 2 for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And the score did not change.
No, it didn't.
No, we didn't allow we allowed one first down in the second half.
Yeah,
is that correct?
I never felt like we were going to lose because they just couldn't do anything.
Right.
That was kind of funny dynamic, I thought, because I didn't think we were going to lose once we got up, which has completely changed from seasons past. Because every time we get up, unless we're
past.
Up by...
Yes, weeks past. That's right.
That, too.
Since South Carolina. No, yeah. I felt that... since Vandy.
Yeah.
Vandy.
I felt that way at Vandy.
I kind of felt that way at Tennessee.
Well, I felt that way at Florida. Well, Vandy was after Tennessee.
Oh, that's true.
I felt that way in Jackson. I just thought we were going to – you couldn't talk to me for the first half. A few people tried. Didn't go over well for them.
No. It did not. But I'm beginning to think, back to Murray, he's just not good when it's below 58 degrees. That seems to be a consistent –
Is that Floridian?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I'm glad it's warming up this week for the Tech game.
It better be.
Unless we have another Arctic front.
Also of concern.
We do. Directly after the weekend.
You shut your mouth.
47, 46 the high next
after
Monday.
The weekend? Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I'm not worried about
it's
that.
It's in the dome.
It's in the dome indoor. He can play 67 degrees or whatever. 72.
Other concerns regarding personnel.
Get
that. Cell phones.
Get that phone out of here.
Throw it over there. Get over there, phone. Crowell.
China doll.
China doll. Now.
Not to be confused with a wrestler.
During the game, I was a little perturbed. I didn't think he was that injured. He comes out of every game with some sort of injury, it seems. I heard a rumor today on the radio that, in fact, he tried to go back in. They took his helmet, like they do when you're injured. He tried to get another helmet and go back in. Now, I don't know if that actually happened or if it's just a rumor. But if that's true...
If that's true,
and
he gets a... You get 2 points back. But
that makes me think he will play this weekend. And if you read between the lines on what Rick said, I think he's going to play. Because next on my list is the performance by the other running backs in the Kentucky game.
Let's talk about the non-performance before we talk about the performance.
Well, can I just touch on Crowell before we leave this topic? Look, it's an ankle injury. I'm not saying it's an ankle. It's an ankle injury.
Right, he's out
because he has two ankles. Anyway, what are they saying? Is it a sprain? What's the deal? Because if you saw him, I was sitting 13 rows up. He was not walking like he was going to make any attempt to go back in that game.
No.
On his way to the locker room at halftime, he was having someone physically carry him, and he was putting no weight on that foot. Now, I've rolled an ankle very badly one time, thought I was not going to be able to walk, limped around for 2 days, but miraculously 3 days later I was doing baseball conditioning. So it's possible that it was really that bad, and I was like you, I was not happy at the time, probably made a few comments to the effect of him being weak-minded or just...
Well, I mean, I saw him walking to the locker room on the TV on the replay, and he was fine, so I don't...
Yeah, initially,
but at the end of the game, he stiffened up.
When he initially went to the locker room, he was barely moving. I mean, he was moving very well.
Yeah.
But when he came back out and on the sideline, I don't know if it just stiffened up on him or what, but he was barely moving.
Who knows? I feel like he's made of glass. I mean, whatever.
Keith Marshall, we want
you. Listen. Oh, okay. We have to have him play.
He has to play.
In case you didn't notice, the substitutes were very ineffective. The most misleading stat line ever was Brandon Harden's. He rushed over 100 yards.
101.
How's that possible?
It just goes to show you. I was sitting with someone who kept saying our O-line was sucking.
Oh, they were bad.
Oh, it was possibly their worst game.
They were bad.
I'm not so sure that they were bad.
I think they didn't have a good game.
No, they had a horrible game.
Because they got to Murray, too, sometimes.
Yes.
That actually concerns me. I should have put... that's something you'd think would be consistent, if anything, the O-line.
Especially after playing possibly their best game the week before, including Murray. But if you go back and watch, Harton was getting hit at the line or a yard deep almost every single carry, except for the few that he actually broke for eight or 9 yards.
I will say Kentucky's D-line is probably their best unit on defense. Linebackers are close because Trevathan, solely because they don't really have many guys outside of that, though. But as a whole, I would say their D-line is probably their best unit.
That's the tallest.
From watching, I know, from watching like five games, I would say their D-line's the best.
Did you happen to catch at the beginning of the season, and his name escapes me, Western Kentucky's running back, who absolutely tore them a new one? Now, I understand you improve throughout the season, and so have we. But it's Western Kentucky, and that guy was absolutely tearing them apart.
And coupled by each running back deciding they were going to cough one up, Boo Malcolm, first carry. I hope he's liked his opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I was lied to. I was lied to.
So I'm going to cough it up. This is making me angry. I got to move on to a happier note.
Wait.
What?
Are we going to talk about Carlton?
Oh, my God. Who knows what's going on with him?
He's
going
to get kicked off.
I don't even know if it's worth commenting.
In my opinion, he should be kicked off the team. He was in my good graces. Then he got suspended. Then in my good graces again. Now he should. I mean, if you violate the team rules three times and you get suspended three times in the same season.
I think it was a different thing each time.
I don't care. He's obviously not learned a lesson.
What are we hearing on this? Because the only hint I got was, I believe Rick said something that occurred at the team hotel.
Yeah. Rick, I don't like the way he's handling this.
He lied again. Well, he didn't like it. I'm sorry. He misled us again.
Yes.
Missed the game due to personal reasons.
That was from Claude Felton.
It doesn't matter. He works for Rick, basically.
I heard rumor, like you said, something happened at the hotel. Maybe he had a guest he wasn't supposed to have. Excuse me.
Hooker? Miss curfew, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe miss curfew. I mean, something that's just speculation. To that.
Maybe it was one of those Lake Lanier Islands.
Oh, yes.
Strange.
Sea monster.
Yeah.
From the tide pool, perhaps?
Yep.
Yeah, because there's no lake anymore.
No. Okay, good news. Is Blair Walsh back on track?
Nah. Not ready to say that yet.
Nope. Putting no stock in that till I see more. However,
Bogate is off the board.
Bogate. Why are we letting Bogate kick 50 yarders?
I know it was 51 yarder, but he just missed it too badly.
Oh, man.
It was like.
It looked like my golf shots.
I kind of feel like Brandon Bogate has a really good time in Athens, but he just happens to be a kicker. So he plays gets a scholarship and is on the team. But he's like, you know what? I'm a backup kicker. He probably doesn't do anything during practice. And what would be even better is if he smokes cigs during practice.
Or games.
That would be the best thing.
Little Nigel Gruff. He's just out there on the field. Nigel Gruff smoking a cigarette from the replacement.
I just feel like that guy's probably would be awesome to hang around.
I hear he's a big surfer.
I would probably like him a lot.
I mean, have you seen Point Break? I like surfers.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. It's Tech Week. Been talking about this SEC championship. Still have some business to take care of this weekend.
And take care of it, I want to.
Tech
badly.
Leading rusher is their quarterback, Delvin Washington, 849 yards. Second leading rusher, David Sims. Not to be confused with Don Johnson's character on Tin Cup, because I'm pretty sure that's his name in that movie. He's had 662 rush yards. Defensively, they rank 43rd nationally, 23rd against the pass, 72nd against the run, which another reason we need Isaiah back. So, about a 5.5-point favorite in this one, which is a pretty tight number.
Yeah.
I would rather win this one than win the SEC championship.
I think I had to because I had to.
I just hate them.
I agree. I don't care.
I mean, I would like to go to the Sugar Bowl, but if we're going to play Houston, then forget it.
Yeah, it's like, there you go again, tallest midget award.
I mean, this season is not a wash if we lose to them because you still have a chance to win 10 games.
Yeah.
Maybe win the conference, but, you know, we'll get to that next week. But losing to Tech, it just sucks.
No matter if you won 9 games in a row, who cares? Because you lost to Tech.
Right.
I wonder how long it's been since we beat Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, and Tech in the same year. It's forever. I bet the 50s or the 40s or 50s. 80.
Yeah, it's early 80s. I bet it has.
I know we haven't beaten Florida, Tennessee, and Auburn all in the same year since the 70s.
Ooh. I hope it happens.
Because I don't.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
You mean in our two undefeated seasons in the early 80s, we didn't do that?
I'm pretty sure about that.
I don't know.
Florida, Auburn.
Tennessee.
I mean, I guess we would have had to, but
yeah, we did in 80 because we definitely played in 80.
Yeah,
definitely would have played Auburn in Florida.
Right.
And we definitely would have played Tech.
That's what I'm saying. 80, we had. Yeah. I figured we had to have in 80.
Could have happened in 81 as well.
No, it was South Carolina was also included in that stat, I heard, because we didn't play them every year, I think, maybe. Hell, I don't know. But
it doesn't matter. It hadn't been done in a while.
We need to beat them.
Yes, and we need to not use the same defensive game plan as last season because they got about 400 yards rushing on us.
By the way, I'd like to apologize to the listeners out there. I kind of have a small
head cold, a little phlegm in my throat as well.
So, pardon the throat clearing GERD you hear.
So
I'm not going to speculate as to why the both of you are sick. We'll let the listeners do that.
Spent a lot of time together this past weekend.
A lot of time. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
away from everyone else.
Oh yeah, alone at the lake house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
Roaring
this
fire.
Is a close game?
Well, if you give up 31 to Duke or whatever it was they did this past weekend,
yeah,
I don't have any fear of them stopping us, their defense stopping us. Even if Harton plays and Crowell does not.
I feel like it will be a tight game, and I feel like we may lose. But I think our guys know how to play the option. Auburn kind of runs
nothing similar to what Tech runs.
No, some option in there. And I feel confident solely based on one play where Corney Washington killed their quarterback when he pitched it to Michael Dyer.
We just can't give up. What was that stat we saw the other day? They lead the nation in 20-plus yard.
20-plus yard plays, yeah.
See, those are just kill you.
See, that's what the thing is. They'll dull you to death. I mean, just with boredom.
Right, and then they pop one.
1 yard gains, losses, fumbles, don't lose them, and then all of a sudden here comes an 85-yard touchdown run out of nowhere.
And their little pitch, what are they, A-backs is what they call them. They're pitch guys. Average like 10 yards a carry because the only time they get the ball is when they have a wide-open lane.
Here's where...
Is that Sims and Smith? Is that Orwin?
No, Sims is the B-back.
He's the B-back.
Orwin is the A-back.
Here's where...
And Roddy, who's entering his eighth season.
Right.
Roddy Jones.
Our secret weapons, Alec Ogletree and Sean Williams, come into play.
Is definitely coming into play on this one.
That guy
And Ogletree is playing out of his mind right now.
So is Sean Williams, and he is dirty.
He's not dirty. He's spirited.
Okay.
Spirit, whatever. Yes.
Speaking of dirty, how about that pass interference play?
I did not have sex with a Bulgarian hooker.
Okay.
Right.
How about that pass interference play Saturday? I was
it's horrible.
I didn't see the refs replay.
Were very strange. They were not good. I never say they screwed us, but it seemed like we didn't get any calls.
They only had one penalty or two, didn't they?
Yeah.
It should have been a holding if it was any penalty at all, not pass interference.
No, it was not pass. And it may have been uncatchable.
And I was screaming uncatchable, but from my angle, I couldn't really tell.
Okay,
but that's
so
obviously
sorry,
what I'm going
to
say.
But I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah. I'm terrified of this game. Just hope we win. I don't care the score.
I'm going to be the guy that says I'm confident.
Okay.
I hope I don't eat crow, but I'm confident.
I hope Alec Ogletree beheads someone.
Oh, yeah, me too. What's your favorite Tech game you've ever attended? Random question. Not too random.
08?
No, not 08. Unless you're a Tech fan.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Just being facetious, I hope.
Probably 06, I guess.
06. Is that the...
Or maybe 07. Because...
That was kind of a crappy game.
We won, but I saw John Rocker.
We did see John Rocker.
Yeah, that was when we needed Tennessee to lose.
That was when Noshon disappeared and Thomas Brown rushed for about 140.
Right.
Brandon Sutherland had two monster blocks on one drive.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of particular to
I would have liked – I wasn't at the 09 game. I feel like I would have liked that one.
Yes, I wasn't there as well.
I liked that one, but I was very nervous the whole game.
Yeah,
I was nervous, but I really enjoyed the 05 game.
Yes.
The Tim Jennings pick late.
Brian McClendon.
Brian McClendon touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. that game was so enjoyable that the dog fans in front of me proceeded to politely remove a 20-foot span of bleacher from Bobby Dodd and walk it down the ramp and up Peachtree. I'm not kidding you. They went past security toting a 20-foot section of bleacher.
I mean, what was security going to do? Tell them put the bleacher down?
Put the bleacher down. But, I mean, seriously, they jumped up and down. That was a great game to be at. Yeah. I about froze, but great game
it
to be
cold.
At.
It was cold. Yeah, it was a good game. And 06, like we've already talked about, mm-hmm. was a great one. The pump fake to Massaqua.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Massaqua.
Believe that we
were coming. Mysterious fumble return for a touchdown by Tony Taylor.
Which Tech fans still talk about.
That's what makes me happy.
It was under the guy's legs.
Yeah, he just get it.
Yeah, he just picked it up.
My least favorite I've attended is the 2000 game when we were down 27-0 at home. In a related story, Jim Donnan was fired shortly thereafter.
his least favorite game, too.
Yes. Switching gears, this will be irrelevant by the time you listen to it, but the Hoops team is playing tonight being Monday, against Cal in the CBE Classic in Kansas City.
Hopefully I can make it home by...
We will either play Missouri or Notre Dame.
Tomorrow?
If we win, we play the winner of that game. Yes. If we lose, we play the loser in a consolation.
I don't think we're going to win.
I don't think we are either, but...
Cal is ranked, right? Or are they not ranked now?
Oh, they're ranked.
They started out like
you can
23rd.
Sound like a genius or an idiot right now because the result will have already been played by the time people are listening. Do you want to make a bold prediction?
I will refrain.
I'm saying we lose 73-60.
You're giving us more credit than I would.
I don't know much about Cal.
I don't either, but
look, if they have a front court that can dribble and get rebounds,
can catch
entry passes, if they have a front court breathing air.
I hate to be that negative on our front court guys, but the best thing you could say about them is green.
Green.
Yes, they're very.
That's
green.
The best thing.
Sorry. What, they all drive hybrid cars?
I'm sure they're super nice guys, and they would punch me in the face if they knew me in person for saying that, but I would take it in stride and realize that I'm just not.
Look, all you got, good. If they're after you, just throw basketballs at their face. They can't catch them. Well, that was a low blow. I'm sorry. I would like to retract previous statement. Backcourt good, front court not so much. I don't think we score 60 on them.
We might not.
Hopefully we can get the guards going.
We're going through a very tough stretch. 7 straight games we could easily lose, so could get ugly. But it'll be a learning process.
I'll still be watching, and, you know, I love basketball. And, so that's why this is hedges to hardwood.
It is. And
not just hedges.
That's right. And it's less catchy.
Shall we? That's all I got.
Yeah, let's move on.
Shall we segue to a little CFB Nation.
Do it.
College Football Nation. Nation. College Nation.
If I didn't know better, considering the pain in my neck and the symptoms I'm suffering from, I might think I have meningitis right now. But
get the hell out of here.
In lieu of that, let's go to the rankings.
Okay. Is this BCS rankings?
These are BCS rankings.
Go ahead.
I've seen them and I'm upset.
Yes.
All right. LSU, Bama, and Arkansas. The first three, second conference to have three teams in the top three in the. I don't really know if it wasn't BCS before, 2001, right?
It was, 98 or something.
Well, anyway, the Big Eight had three teams in there in the 70s somehow.
I was about to ask that question. Good job there.
Oklahoma State, number four, Vitek, Stanford, Boise, Houston, Oklahoma, Oregon, Kansas State, Carolina, South, Georgia, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Clemson, Baylor, Penn State, TCU, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Auburn, Texas.
Okay.
Auburn. Still in there.
How about Texas still in there?
Should not be ranked. Texas should not be ranked.
Why did Oklahoma State drop two spots? They should be 10.
Right. I agree. That's not enough of a gap. You lose on the road.
You lose to Iowa State.
But Iowa State, who has beaten a few teams
this
year.
And it's your opportunity. Only game on.
Right.
By the way, I told y'all earlier in the season, I remember on a certain podcast where I thought, actually, Iowa State played Oklahoma and they got shellacked. But I thought they might win that game and stand a chance. Well, it was just the other Oklahoma State. So,
no, I don't. I'm just rattling things off top of my head.
Kansas State. I don't know why they're high on this. I guess the computers love the Big 12.
They love the Big 12 and loathe the Big 10.
It's stupid.
And they enjoy the fact that they beat Miami.
They love it. They're fifth in the computer rankings.
See,
that's ridiculous. They've been.
They should just take like a. We should start a poll called the Common Sense Index, and it should not include teams who get killed by the likes of Maryland, Boston College. I'm speaking of Clemson here.
They didn't lose to Boston College.
No, they lost to Maryland, right?
No, they lost to NC State.
Oh, yeah.
Got Tom O'Brien. Schmammered.
Mr. was almost on the hot seat last week. And that's terrible.
Look, I don't care that Sammy Watkins didn't play. Uh-uh. They gave up 50.
Yeah, it was not. The heat would not have made a difference.
It was 37, but close enough.
Close enough, 50.
It was not close. It was a blow.
No, it wasn't close.
Why – what logic do you put Oklahoma ahead of Oregon, or us for that matter? Their two losses, Texas Tech and Baylor, are worse than either of ours or either of Oregon's.
And we lost them at the first of the season.
Right. Yeah.
It's like computer rankings, I think. It must be it.
Oh, big game, Bob. Speaking of common sense, and this is unrelated to the BCS ranking, have you seen the AP poll?
Yeah, I have it right here.
Okay. I just want you to – I don't even want to hear about any of it. I want you to talk about who is a number 10.
That would be USC.
Unranked to number 10.
No, they were 18.
Yeah, they were ranked.
They were 18 last week. But nonetheless, stupid.
Number 10.
They're not that good.
I think they're pretty good.
I don't think they're that good.
I don't want them to be, but they are.
I don't think
there's not a lot of
teams
that could win that, go into Oregon and win. I mean, they.
Except LSU.
Except LSU. Whatever.
All right. Houston, number 8, also in the AP.
Who cares? I think they may lose.
Can we talk about.
I'm calling upset. Calling an upset.
Who are they playing this week?
They play Tulsa Friday. Calling it. They'll crack under the pressure.
Okay. Can we talk about.
I could look like an idiot on that one.
Let's talk about possible BCS scenarios here. And why I want to gouge my eyes out because the media keeps clamoring for LSU Alabama in the national championship.
I'm vehemently opposed to that.
Clamoring. I think they're just. It's a very distinct possibility.
The fact that it's a very distinct possibility makes me mad because Alabama had their chance and lost, and they won't be playing in the champion or the conference championship game unless something crazy happens, like very crazy, like more crazy than Iowa State beating Oklahoma State by a factor of 10. I can almost guarantee that LSU will not lose on Friday.
I don't think
there's any way it'll happen.
After watching these games this year across the country.
There's a way, but I don't think they'll lose. But Arkansas is getting everybody healthy. I think the Nile Davis, or is that his name? The running back?
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Nile Davis is coming back?
He had
an
ACL tear.
It was broken bone, wasn't it?
He may have played last week. They talked about him playing last week.
I didn't know that, but
and Greg Childs is healthy now. I don't think they'll win, but they could. They have the best receiving corps in the country, I would say.
I don't think there's any way, but that's my opinion.
Their defense is average. I mean, it's
I wouldn't even give them that much credit.
I don't understand this. But it does make a little sense considering that the third best team is Arkansas. Really? They're not the third best team. But, I mean, I guess it's kind of de facto. Otherwise, you're going to have Virginia Tech in there,
mm-mm,
who I think may get beat this week.
Yeah.
What was the Bama-Arkansas score? They won by, what, two TDs?
38 to 14 three TDs? Or something?
Yeah, it was 38-14.
Or 38-10, I think.
Killing.
I'm sorry.
Ritualistic.
You don't deserve to be the third team in the country when your lone loss came to the team right above you and they murdered you.
If you ask me, I would say, and this is probably hard to imagine coming from me, but I would say Stanford is probably should be the third best team, but they lost to Oregon.
It's just a matter of...
I hate Stanford, and I don't want to say that, but I feel like they're better.
They lost by a pretty good margin to Oregon, right? I mean, it was like 20 points, wasn't it?
It wasn't close.
So it's just a matter of, do you think the Oregon loss is worse than Arkansas losing to Alabama? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I guess.
I think Oregon's probably better. So, but Stanford also had that overtime win against USC.
USC gave them all they could handle.
I don't know. There's just not a good way.
No Oklahoma State or Virginia Tech. No, I don't want them.
No, I don't either.
And Virginia Tech is primed to backdoor into this thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Enough of the rankings debate. Let's move on to headlines. Another extremely sad story to start off here. Arkansas backup redshirt freshman tight end Garrett Ekman passed away in his dorm room 11 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah. I almost mentioned that when he was talking about getting people back.
Yeah. I felt...
What was the cause? Did they know?
They still haven't determined, but he was unresponsive when paramedics got to his room and went into cardiac arrest.
Hmm.
They said they didn't suspect anything bad.
Really? Heart defect?
He's going in for an autopsy. They couldn't tell anything. It was at 11:15 in the morning, so that would have been a really weird time if it were something bad. So I don't either that or allergy or who knows. I mean,
yeah. I'm guessing he had a heart issue.
That's probably right.
If he didn't overdose on drugs, but
I don't think he did that. From what they said, they were taking him in for an autopsy. They didn't suspect any. They said he was a really good kid, so
it's bizarre.
Prayers go out to his family.
It's very strange.
Arkansas family of folks. Bama starting safety Will Lowry out for the season with a torn ACL.
Ooh.
In Saturday's game for Georgia State. So the Eagles of Georgia State or Georgia Southern are doing their farewell best to keep Alabama out of the national championship. Also, pretty evident to me.
Since they played last weekend?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
And injuring players, apparently.
Yeah.
By the way, they...
I didn't realize they had another safety.
Had the most success of any offense against Alabama.
Yes.
Yeah.
They scored 21 and got over 300 yards, which is average for most teams, but not when you play Alabama.
Notre Dame running back Cyrus Gray has a significant knee injury as the time of writing this, but from what I heard a little bit later, as of like 6 o'clock, they think it's a stress fracture in his knee, and he may play this week. I don't know. I don't really care, but it's Notre Dame, and there wasn't a whole lot of news. Ohio State talking to Meyer about head coaching job.
Uh-oh. He
denied it vehemently over the weekend, but a source close to ESPN.com, I'd love to know where all these guys come from, but they said that the two are talking to each other apparently now.
I think
it's a perfect job for him, actually, myself. He's in a talent-rich state. I mean, Michigan
is up there. I mean,
Michigan's down. He can pretty much have the pick of anybody he wants.
I think he's from Ohio.
He's from Ohio.
No one's going to Penn State.
Nope.
You can get all the recruits.
You can mop up. Lee Corso dropped the F-bomb over the weekend.
I saw that.
I don't know what was better, what he said or the responses by Herb Street and
Yeah. Mr. Squeaky Clean Herb Street. He was so surprised. I thought the Houston coach's reaction was pretty priceless. He was like laughing, but at the same time horrified.
Yeah.
Well, Herb Street basically pushed himself away, almost like he was trying to get out of the frame. He was laughing. And I just blanked. Who's the third member of the broadcast team?
Desmond? Chris Fowler.
Chris Fowler, yeah. Not Desmond. Fowler put his head down.
Yeah.
I assume he said, was laughing so hard.
I'm pretty sure I could make out, what the hell did you just do, Corso?
Now, I did hear someone say he said, what did you do or what were you thinking?
It was what the hell were you thinking,
Corso? Okay, there was another explicative in there?
Yeah, mumbled underneath his breath in the audio.
Corso doesn't care?
No.
Where are you going to
find him? He's done after the end of the year, I've heard. Pollock's taking
his spot. See, that's a shame. The ratings on that, and I love Pollock. And I think he'll do a great job. But the reason people watch the reason they watch that show is Corso.
Yeah. I'm just happy that Jesse Palmer's not taking his spot.
Oh, thank God. Can't handle short ties.
No.
Here's another one of my classic taglines for the week that I wrote down. Of course, made a note for it. Miami chooses to forego the invite to the All HVAC Bowl presented by Train and sponsored in part by Goodies after their impending sanctions or whatever. I'm sure that their 6-3 win over South Florida this weekend had nothing to do with that. 6-3.
Where's the punchline?
The fictitious bowl he just made up. That
yeah, that's the punchline.
He thought a lot about. Easily,
have you seen the bowl names?
Yeah,
that's modest.
That's why I thought it was funny, because no one would have known that's actually not a bowl name.
HVAC and
all HVAC bowl presented by Train and sponsored in part by Goodies.
That sounds like a bowl name.
Just because it's stupid, and then you would have to have a headache.
I can appreciate the wittiness, but I'm never a fan of punchlines that have to be explained.
Sorry. I know. But
good effort, though. I like it.
It just made me – I like, really? Okay, we're going to forego – we're 3-5 in the ACC and 6-4 overall. You know, you just take your bowl bid. Well, you know, it's cool.
Well, you saw they asked Al Golden about it Friday.
Yeah.
If there were any rumors stirring around about them possibly refusing a bowl bid, and he said, not to my knowledge, we will prepare. That's, you know, our goal is to make a bowl game.
Completely fictitious.
Sunday, the team, it was announced to the team, and apparently to Golden, they would not be accepting a bowl bid.
Either way, it's stupid to invite.
I think that program has been put through enough. Let them play a bowl game.
Yeah.
I would too.
For
it's
the
their
kids.
Day in the sun.
For the kids.
Trick love the kids.
For the kids.
I think the kids got enough.
All right.
Boat rides.
Boat rides.
Whores.
Whores. Moving on.
Bags of cash.
Gary Barnett VIP Club update time.
Do it.
It's time for the Gary Barnett VIP Club update.
I'm just going to go through these quickly because these coaches really aren't worth mentioning. Larry Porter lost to Marshall 23-22 at home. They're 1-9. Neil Calloway won at home against number 20 Southern Miss. So perhaps he has
shot in the arm.
Yeah,
allayed his decapitation
for another week.
For another week, till he loses it. Tulane.
Is it bad of me to say that sometimes I hate for certain programs to win games when a guy's just dead in the water?
This guy is.
It's like, look, you should be fired, and then you beat a ranked team.
Guy, instead of just being dead in the water, the spaniel is retrieving him. It's in mouth on the way back. I mean.
The what is it, the big dog with a rung around his neck?
Saint Bernard.
Is it a Saint Bernard?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he retrieved them, and he has the rum.
Yeah. It's
or is it vodka?
Taken to the Red Cross shelter.
I don't know.
Probably vodka.
Rick Neuheisel, again, another.
Maybe, I think it's brandy.
Actually, I think it is brandy. I think you're right.
Another guy who is delaying the inevitable, smoked Colorado at home 45-6.
Who's this?
Neuheisel.
The Pac-12 South champion.
Champion.
Yeah.
Kills me. He bought himself a year.
Lame. I'm mad at this. Turner Gill, he's done. He lost to another club member 61-7 over the weekend.
Oh. Wow.
Mr. Mike Sherman.
Yes, I saw that.
So he may have also kept himself alive, dependent upon the impending Texas game in a couple weeks, yeah. I guess. Frank Spaziani.
I think it's this Thursday, actually.
Yeah, it is, actually. It's on my games of the week. Frank Spaziani lost at Notre Dame 16-14. I'm sure that game was great to watch and be at.
Oof.
Everett Withers lost at Virginia Tech despite a spirited performance from his offense, 26-23.
He's going to get a spirited performance from the moving vans because he's not going to be there next year.
Yeah.
To quote Colin, moving vans running.
Moving vans idling.
Yeah, that was the best segment I've ever heard.
Notable games from last week. Baylor and RG3 over Oklahoma, 45-38.
Did you see the end?
Yeah, it was a pick six, right?
No.
What game was that, the pick six? Oh, that was Tennessee Vandy.
Yeah, 90-yarder.
Sorry. No, I didn't see the end of this. I was asleep.
Yeah, it was on one of those weird channels on Dish Network.
It was on FX. Was it the FX
game? No, it was the ABC regional.
Okay, all right. Okay. I'm sorry.
But what happened was it was tied, and Baylor was going to sit on it with like 50 seconds left on their own 20 and just send it to overtime. So that I think they even took a knee. They may have run a play, just a handoff. Big Game Bob calls a timeout because he wants to get the ball back.
Ooh.
So Baylor just starts running plays and throws it downfield, and RG3 threw a 35-yard touchdown pass with no time remaining.
Well, good. Good for him. I'm glad.
Big Game Bob.
I love when jerks like him.
The Willie Martinez factor has come into full force this season, by the way.
Yeah.
They got torched by Texas Tech, torched by Baylor. I'm sure he's on your 5-star list this week.
He should be.
No.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, I know he is.
USC downed Oregon at home, 38-35. Oregon missed a field goal in true Oregon fashion. See, this is what happens.
That's the bad thing about scoring so many touchdowns. Your field goal kicker never...
No, at all. And I really hate giving kickers scholarships, but some teams need to give kickers scholarships. Like Boise. Oregon and Boise.
Yeah.
Boise, who has lost the national championship on back-to-back years. Theoretically.
Oh, yeah.
Theoretically.
They have to be pissed.
Well, that's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. 2 years in a row.
Because they would be number two.
You lose a game on
three.
A field goal.
I think...
They'd probably be number three or four.
It'd be number three.
Four, three, yeah.
Mr. Cartoon Dabo puts on a display of coaching mastery and gets throttled by NC State 37-13.
It was just too sweet.
It was not even close.
Clemson being Clemson.
Yeah.
All I have to say. You can count on it every year.
Good chance to go to a BCS bowl.
Yeah.
If they beat the winner of Virginia Tech.
What would Scott Hall say about that Wolfpack member?
It's Wolfpack style.
It's too sweet.
KSU downs UT in Austin 17-13. I cannot understand this.
Why is Texas ranked?
I don't get it.
They have four losses, including some blowouts.
Yeah. They just lost to Kansas State. I mean, really? The only time Kansas State should be of any merit is when they have Darren Sproles on their team, and they don't anymore.
Or Freeman.
Yeah, that guy. Michigan barely escapes Nebraska at home, 45-17. That one was
close. They're ranked two, aren't they?
Yeah.
They only have two losses.
21.
Or they have three losses.
FSU loses. Despite having 23 5-stars on their team to Virginia, 14-13.
Did you see the end of that game?
I didn't.
Enlighten us.
It was pure chaos. Let me think back. FSU had the ball down 14-13. And they were driving, and they ran. They were going to try to do. They were out of timeouts, and they were only. They're in like the 50-yard range, so they wanted to get a little closer. So they ran a quick out to the sideline, but Greg Reed knee hit before he got to the sideline.
Oh, what do we got? Is this a sideline knee this,
you're gonna
reference?
You're going to understand this one.
Having flashbacks.
So his knee hits. So they have no timeouts. Under 10 seconds, the clock just runs out. Game over. Well, they review it and determine that the ball hit the ground and it was incomplete. So they put time back onto the clock. Needless to say, the Virginia coach was not happy about all this.
Well, I can't blame him.
Then they line up to kick the field goal and call Virginia for simulating the cadence, which is a 5-yard penalty, where the defense tries to say hut and make it snap. So then they get penalized.
I've never seen that call, by the way.
I've only seen it a couple times in the NFL, I think. But they called it. He was, again, not very happy. What's it, Mike London? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Then FSU lines up, misses the field goal.
Was it wide right?
It was wide left.
Oh.
I think
that's what Florida State gets for. There are just far too many idiot head coaches, I feel like, in the ACC. Dabo Swinney and Jimbo Fisher. I don't really feel like either one of those guys are qualified, but they just get it because they were on staff for a long time.
Well, Jimbo coaching waiting.
They brought him in to be the coach in waiting.
Coach in waiting. Brought him in to be
terrible.
Coach in waiting.
I just thought that was terrible when it started. Anyway.
I mean, it worked out great for West Virginia, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
God, I hate when they do that.
Notable games this week, as previously mentioned, Texas at TAMU, 8 p.m. Thursday, ESPN. TAMU is actually an 8.5-point favorite.
Go Aggies.
Those are two very unreliable teams.
This is an awful game.
In the betting
I'm going to cheer for the future SEC team.
Arky at Red Stick, 2:30 Friday.
Red Stick.
Baton Rouge. LSU is a 12.5-point favorite. By the way, did you see that? I saw where an odds maker before our game Saturday, I'm probably sure the line would have gone up by now, said were we to play LSU in the title game, it would be a 10.5-point game.
I didn't see that.
So apparently they think we're better than Arkansas.
Well, they gave them like 5 points for playing at home. So it'd be like 9 or 8 or something.
Yeah.
On a neutral.
Bama at Auburn, 3:30 Saturday, CBS. Auburn's getting 20.5 in that one.
Not enough.
I just can't. I can't see how Alabama loses that.
No.
Coming off the game last year, based on what I saw from Auburn in person.
Yeah. Virginia Tech at UVA, 3:30 Saturday, ABC or ESPN2 regionally.
Go Cavaliers.
Yeah, Cavaliers are 5.5, getting 5.5
the
here.
The Cavs. If they win, they win their division.
Yeah, I like this team.
And I would love that.
Yeah. I told y'all last week or the week before that I think this coach is pretty good. Well, I maybe
don't think you were alone in saying that. I said they dumped Callaway on Tech and got better.
Yeah, exactly.
Grove. Sorry, yeah. We were talking about Callaway earlier. Dumped Al
they
Grove.
They could easily beat Clemson.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely, and I will be cheering
linearly,
for Virginia.
They have beat Clemson.
Have? No.
Linearly.
Oh, yes. Linearly.
Doing
yes.
That
okay.
Thing.
I thought you said literally.
No. Notre Dame at Stanford, 8 Saturday. Stanford is a 6.5-point favorite.
I never cheer for Notre Dame. I will this time.
Yeah. Clemson at South Carolina, 7:45 Saturday, ESPN. Carolina's a 4-point favorite. I really didn't have any other reason to put this in here. I'm hoping that they will just all injure each other.
Yeah, that's just, two joke teams.
Can you?
That one of them beat us.
I wish there was still some way they could tie.
Yeah. What makes me mad is if we would have beat these asshats in game two, we'd be sitting pretty right now. But
You'd be sitting about number five. We'd be
heavily rooting for Auburn to beat Alabama.
If ifs and buts were Kenny. Sorry,
I don't even think that would be an issue.
Maybe not. Well,
if we were a one loss team, we went out, go to the SEC championship, and beat LSU. You're in.
Yeah, you're right.
UGA at Tech.
Son of a bitch, Aaron Murray.
12 o'clock, high noon Saturday, ESPN. We're a 6.5-point favorite, like you said earlier. Penn State at Wisconsin, 3:30 ESPN. Wisconsin's a 14.5-point favorite. Did you see someone from College Football News was predicting us to play Penn State in the Cap One Bowl?
That's depressing.
Do you know how awful that would be? And how much I would want to gouge my eyes out.
Do you know what the signs would say made by Georgia fans? A bunch of drunk smart asses?
Or
been drinking whiskey all day?
Dude, I would just hate that game. Off, because it would not. It would be Penn State playing for redemption.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll have two
you couldn't get
losses.
A word in edgewise about UGA for terrible. That game.
No.
All right, five-star performers of the week, RG3 in a win, 21 of 34 for 479 and four touchdowns. Jared Barnett, quarterback, Iowa State versus Oklahoma State, 31 of 58 for 376, three touchdowns. However, two picks.
Yeah. Gotta love that.
He was not even good to me.
Gotta love that defense they play in that league.
Monty Ball.
Sorry. I did see Oklahoma State's defense is ranked 105th nationally now.
That's good.
Number 14.
Monty Ball, running back, Wisconsin at Illinois, 38 rushes for 224 yards and two touchdowns. That guy's good.
He is not getting enough publicity.
He's
for Heisman.
He won't.
I know he won't because he's at Wisconsin. They've got, what, three losses, two losses now?
Two.
Yeah.
He's got – how many touchdowns did you say?
Hey, over 30, I think, now.
How many did he have this past game?
Two.
He's right at 30 if he's not over it. He's 29-30, somewhere in that range.
Robert Turbin, running back, Utah State at Idaho, 24 rushes for 208 and three touchdowns. Kendall Wright, wide receiver, Baylor versus Oklahoma, 8 for 208 and a touchdown. Andre DeBose, I hate putting Gators on here, but he deserves it. Florida versus Furman, three receptions for 151 yards and two touchdowns.
Which was a struggle for a while. Did you see the stadium?
No.
Less than half full.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It looked like a scrimmage.
That's terrible. And they were down in the fourth quarter or third quarter.
They're losing in the third quarter like 32-30. It was depressing looking if you're a
that
Gator fan.
Leash is getting very short on Muschamp.
And Weiss.
If they have another bad year next year, he's done.
Yeah, I think so.
What is their record this year?
They've lost five.
They're 5-5.
They're 5-6. Well, they'd have to be 6-5. They're 6-5, though?
Are they?
Well, they played 11 games.
Yeah, they are.
They had a bye before our week.
They played Florida State this weekend, I guess.
I guess so, too. That's not interesting to me.
Boy, the luster's off that game.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. In lieu of last week, switching from Mackey Award list to Butkus Award watch list.
Do it.
We've got several entrants here. Luke Kuechly, Boston College, 182 tackles, 11 tackles for loss.
Whoa, how many tackles?
182.
Ooh.
What the hell does their defensive line do? Just nothing. Open holes for him and refuse to make any tackles?
No tackles, no sacks, however, which is weird. Vontaze Burfict, Arizona State, 63 tackles, 5 sacks, and 7 tackles for loss. Zach Brown.
Hell of a player.
What did you say
overrated.
The first guy had?
182.
Are you sure that's not career?
I'm 100% sure it's this season.
That's mind-boggling.
Danny Trevathan has 160.
Okay.
Well, I believe that, and I'm ready for that bastard to graduate.
He should be on this list, but he's not.
They pitched a fit when he didn't make the semifinals.
He should be. He's good.
He's very good.
Vontaze I've already gone over that. Zach Brown, UNC, 81 tackles, 5.5 sacks, and 10 tackles for loss. Pretty good.
Are these the semifinalists?
Yes. Yeah. These are all the semifinalists. Courtney Upshaw, Bama, 39 tackles, 6.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss. Dante Hightower, Bama, 72 tackles, 3 sacks, and 8.5 tackles for loss. Travis Lewis,
so
Oklahoma.
Just sexy picks.
Yeah.
People like them because they go to
Oklahoma,
Bama.
67 tackles, 0 sacks, or 0 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. That doesn't make sense.
How does that work?
Does it? It has to be reversed. It's 2 tackles for loss and 0 sacks.
I'm not sure they count sacks in your tackles for loss. I could be wrong about that. I think they're two separate categories.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I might be wrong. I don't.
Manti Te'o.
Te'o.
Is that the Notre Dame Hawaiian?
Yeah.
Whatever. Notre Dame, 103 tackles, 4.5 sacks, and 11.5 tackles for loss. And
what
our boy.
That? What was the numbers? I'm sorry, I missed those.
103. Four and a half sacks and 11.5 tackles.
A lot of people are high on him.
He's good. Yeah. He's just a sophomore, right?
I think that's right.
Is that right? He was a 5-star. I remember
that.
Yeah,
he's just a sophomore. Jarvis Jones, our boy, 58 tackles, 12.5 sacks, and 18.5 tackles for loss.
See,
he
that,
might win it.
Those last two might give him the edge.
Yeah.
Even though his total tackles are
I had no idea he had 2.5 sacks Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was good, but not that good.
Oh, he played one of his best all-around games of the year. He's out in coverage a little bit more now.
It says he's not going to go pro.
He said it twice, and I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. He's good.
He is very good.
Getting first-round love already.
Dude,
so.
the strip that he had on the –
Boom.
Their no-name quarterback, because I can't remember his name.
Maxwell Smith.
Mister, I have my full name on the jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's he's British.
Oh,
his
okay.
dad, still over the pond from what I hear.
I would love to hear him speak, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, the strip that he had on him was a thing of beauty.
Very nice.
It was good. I had something else I wanted to throw in here, but not really sure what it was. Can't remember, but that's pretty much it.
I like those numbers, though. Sacks and tackles for loss.
Yeah, those are high. Well, shall we take a little break? And
Small
break.
Little break.
Short
and
one.
And come back with a little West Goes Hollywood. Stay tuned.
Time to do it up. West Goes Hollywood.
West Goes Hollywood. West Goes Hollywood. Hollywood.
Movies.
Hollywood. West Goes.
Movies.
West Goes Hollywood.
Box office.
Hollywood, Hollywood, West Coast, Hollywood, Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood.
Welcome back, folks. And as Tessel said earlier, what going into the weekend was appeared to be an uneventful weekend of football. Turned out to be quite the stunner, really. And so would the box office if you were a 16-year-old female. In case you missed it,
I'm close.
You crawl out from under that rock you were under. The Twilight number 47 or whatever in the series. And Marty, did you go see it?
Nope.
You didn't get drugged to it yet?
Nah, didn't.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 or whatever it is, $140 million.
Huh. That sounds like a lot.
And I didn't say it, but I think that was number one this weekend. Number two, coming in a little slack from projections, Happy Feet 2, $22
million.
Number three, Immortals, $12.3 million.
That looked not like a movie I'd like to go watch.
A little bit of a dip from week one. Number four, Jack and Jill.
Definitely don't want to.
$12 million. Adam Sandler needs to be stopped.
Yes.
And number five, Marty's favorite movie, Puss in Boots.
It's actually your favorite movie, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love Shrek and all of the prequel sequels.
I really don't mind Shrek.
And I'm being facetious when I say that.
Or even Shrek 2. They ran it out of gas.
Yeah,
like, they do everything now.
This horse has been kicked.
And they're trying to run it more out of gas. The next thing that's going to happen is they're going to have the damn dragon that doesn't even talk.
You gotta love,
in a movie.
You got to love any movie where there's cartoon animals with ethnic accents.
Right.
I mean, it's just, gotta love it.
I mean, I guess, can you think the Robin Hood with the foxes for this?
Yeah.
The early Disney film, can you think? Anyway, it was fifth with $10.7 million.
They didn't do that back then, did they?
No, they just didn't give generic, you know, non-regional.
Right, right, right. There might have been a few characters that had accents, but it wasn't.
But it would be like a British accent.
Right.
What was the crab from Little Mermaid?
Sebastian.
They didn't give Sebastian his own movie, did they?
No.
Oh, that's where he was
they
going.
They didn't give Flounder.
I thought he was going with accents. He's going on spinoffs.
They didn't give Flounder his own movie. Or even Ariel's dad.
By the way, I thought Flounders are the fish with eyes on
they
the
are
same side.
Flat with
okay,
the
so that
eyes
was
on
incorrect.
It, well,
he was fat,
right,
too.
He was a little pudgy.
Yeah, and he
fish
was like...
and yellow and blue, but...
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not dingy and brown like every other flounder.
Looked like
in
a
the
damn
sea
puffer fish, except but, not puffed up.
I don't know.
Puffer is not a really good name for a character, is it?
I guess not.
Flounder
however,
apparently is better.
The seagull was named Scuttle, which I like that name. Yeah. Good usage there.
Scuttle. Well, name your kid like that. It's, everybody else is
oh,
doing
yeah
it.
Like Rowan Canoe, which is a guy that he named his kid Rowan Canoe.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. But you're right. That's a very good point, Marty, actually. I mean.
John Smith?
Can
he get his own movie?
Can you think of any other previous, like back when there used to be animated films that were cartoons that got spinoffs, got their own stuff? Major releases now. I'm not talking like straight to Laserdisc.
The Hound? Of the Fox and the Hound?
I didn't see Tramp getting one out of Lady and the Tramp.
No.
No.
I mean, there might have been a porno somewhere named Tramp, but wasn't about a dog.
Not an animated dog.
Not an animated dog.
No.
All right. Anyway, that was this weekend at the box office. And if you're not in our demographic, and, well, if you are in our demographic, don't go watch any of these movies that are out right now. Except for maybe Immortals.
Speaking of Immortals, why do you have why are you so offended about watching that movie in 3D? That is the only reason I would. Well, there's two reasons I would want to watch that.
Okay, let me paint this
Let's
picture for
this.
The listeners who are still with us. Originally, we had intended to see a film Sunday evening for the purpose of review. However, our local theater is, quite honestly, a piece of shit. So the only film worth watching, in our opinion, was Immortals. Well, Marty over here had a blatant problem with the fact that it was not being shown in 3D.
There was also two other reasons that I didn't want to go.
And that was the only option. We could have watched it. He did not feel like driving 35 minutes to a theater that was viewing the film in 3D.
Definitely not.
Understandably so, obviously, because he was sick, I guess.
Yes.
But I've seen one film in 3D. I feel 3D is a gimmick. I have from the get-go. 3D TVs, 3D cell phones, 3D this, 3D that. Why? What's the purpose?
I think it's a gimmick, but, I mean, if it's out there, it's like, oh, do you want... It's like, okay, here's a great analogy. It's like you go to your favorite...
Sounds like a lot of things.
You go to your favorite meet and three. Well...
Meat and three.
So you get your fried chicken, you get your fried okra, so anything else fried, I can, maybe some fried macaroni and cheese, I don't know. You get that, then you come up to the potato line, and the lady's like, here's your mashed potatoes, would you like gravy with that? And you're like, nah, hell no, I don't want gravy with that. It's free and it makes it better, maybe, but it's good.
I mean, how does it make it? Go back and look at the history of film. What great movie that was made prior to 3D that if you put it in 3D now would be better?
It doesn't make it better, but
Godfather?
It adds...
I would love to see Godfather in 3D. I would love to see that damn horse laying in a bed in fucking 3D. I hate 3D films. It is a gimmick. It brings nothing to the table.
I think it's a gimmick, but it makes me want to watch it more solely because it's 3D. Now, would I go see it just because it's 3D? No. But, like I said, it's like adding that little bit of extra flavor that some brown gravy brings to some mashed potatoes.
Okay, forget the 3D.
Yeah, shut up about
the potatoes.
The
movie got horrible reviews. I didn't want to go watch it.
Look, if it was 3D, okay, they would throw the gravy at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the movie was probably going to not be good and thus make great material for this right now. So
God, it is too long.
Well, just suffice it to say
it?
That
it's like an hour and 50 minutes. That's too long.
Well, just suffice it to say that you and I are on complete opposite sides of the fence on 3D, right?
Whatever.
Well, I'm asking.
I don't know if we're on complete opposite fence sides of the fence, but that's close enough. Who cares?
Okay. Anyway, opening this weekend in 3D, Hugo. This is the new Martin Scorsese flick.
Wasn't that the lead dog in what is the dog sled movie?
Balto?
No. Oh, come on. The famous book.
Call of the Wild?
No. Maybe it is Call of the Wild.
It's probably that. I don't know.
That's a familiar name.
It's not, but it wasn't Wolfie?
Little T2 joke there. Hold on.
Crush your enemies.
There we go.
I was hoping he had that quote. Your foster parents are dead.
The Iditarod. Was that Call of the Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
And, in Balto was what the Iditarod was based on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Balto was probably a little bit further on down on Dogula's totem pole when thinking about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, go ahead. Hugo, tell me.
Anyway, Hugo, Martin Scorsese film. It's set in the 1930s in England, I believe. An orphan who lives in the walls of a train station is wrapped up in a mystery involving his late father and a robot.
Whoa.
So, robot in the 1930s, train station, orphan, Martin Scorsese, 3D.
I'm thinking it probably should look like the robot from... What is that?
I think the robot is like a kid, maybe. I haven't seen many previews
on
that.
And kind of intriguing.
It's currently getting 8.5 on pre-screenings. That's a rating from about 400 viewers. As I said, it's in 3D. The main stars are people you've never heard of. Chloe Grace Moretz, Christopher Lee, Asa Butterfield. But the supporting cast is where your star power is. Little Sacha Baron Cohen, Jude Law.
Nice.
Ben Kingsley.
Hello, Gypsy, give me your tears.
And Ray Winstone.
I've never heard of that guy.
Reviews are good coming in. James Cameron said it's genius. Said it's the best Scorsese film he's ever seen.
Oh, man, we got to go see this now.
Who said that?
James Cameron.
Oh, well, we got to go watch
it? Not to be confused with Kirk Cameron.
No, we got to go. Well, if he said it, we definitely would go watch it.
But that's going to be your big opener for the weekend. However, will it unseat Twilight or slow it down? Probably not.
I don't really care anything about, after thinking about it over the weekend, I really don't care anything about seeing J. Edgar. Apparently no one else does either.
It fell to sixth, I believe, this week and made maybe
it
7 million,
interest me
5
or
much. 7 million.
I'm not really on the biopics. I just don't know about it.
Oh, and by the way, the Clooney film that's getting a lot of push for award seasons, The Descendants, that I discussed last week, that opened this previous weekend, it opened at number 10.
By the way, the movie.
$1.3 million.
I was thinking of Iron Will. Is it that about dog
sledding? Oh, gosh, yeah. It definitely is.
Yeah?
That was right around Balto level on the hierarchy of dog sled movies.
Sorry, go ahead.
Read the true story behind Balto. It's quite noble.
Oh, yeah, that's where he brought the medicine.
The medicine, that's what the Iditarod's based on. Yeah. Marty.
Great story.
Horrible cartoon.
Yeah. Horrible cartoon.
I was just talking about that. I wasn't talking about the backstory.
You know, the bad thing about that is the dog doesn't know he's getting an award and stuff.
He's just sitting there.
He's like, well,
I want a treat.
I mean, I don't know why I decided to slug through ice cold below freezing temperatures, but I did.
I mean, he doesn't need a statue or a medal. Give the thing lifetime supply of ribeyes.
Snossages.
Snossage, ribeyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bacon. Anyway.
Bacon.
Also opening this week, The Muppets.
Mm.
That's right.
Muppets. The best Muppets movie to date. So I'm sold.
Oh, wow. This is the tagline. With the help of three fans, the Muppets must reunite and save their old theater from a greedy oil tycoon. Okay, I did not write this down. So
I think that plot line was used in 1952 or whenever they.
I mean,
started.
Is this There Will Be Blood with Muppets? What is this?
Yeah,
that would be a good movie.
Okay.
By the way,
this is directed by James Bobbin, who has done nothing.
Daniel Day-Lewis wailing on some Muppets on
Fozzie.
His oil rig.
Wailing right. On Fozzie.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, was he? Yeah, he's a Muppet.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, they had part of the plot synopsis was when they're looking for the Muppets to reunite them, Animal is in a Hollywood anger management course. I just thought that was funny. Animals in a Hollywood anger management course. Anyway, starring Amy Adams, who needs to pick better roles, Jason Segel, who actually co-wrote, and Chris Cooper.
I don't know Chris Cooper.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. He's in a ton of stuff.
A lot of stuff. He's like a classier Michael
Maybe
Ironside.
The name recognition just isn't popping, isn't recognizing.
He's in Patriot.
Patriot.
Born Identity.
American Beauty.
Yes. He's in a lot of stuff.
He's in October Sky. He's the kid's dad.
I'm sorry. I'm just really needing some NyQuil.
He's in
right
Seabiscuit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a trainer.
For multiple reasons.
By the way, Jason Segel apparently, I don't know if you saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall, mm-hmm. but he does a little puppet show, a little puppet musical with Dracula.
Oh, yes.
And he's obviously in Muppets now and has co-wrote it. Apparently, Segel has a thing for puppets.
Yes.
Oh.
He claims that's the reason he's still single and that before he made it big, he had a one-bedroom apartment that was dominated by puppets. And now that he has made some money, obviously, and purchased a larger place of dwelling, he has a room dedicated to puppets.
Oh, man.
Is that healthy?
Waiting around for a plushies versus furries.
You're done. You're done. That's it. Somebody give him the NyQuil. He's done.
Bring in the prescription cough syrup.
Moving on.
Oh, wait, do you have any on you?
No.
Oh.
But
you
want to
make some
I
purple
did.
Drink?
Move on.
Also opening this week, A Dangerous Method. This is directed by David Cronenberg.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Eastern Promises, History of Violence, which both starred Viggo Mortensen, and he is in this film. Also, did not know this. Either one of you want to take a guess at the 1980 sci-fi thriller that Cronenberg directed?
I know this.
1980? The year?
No, it's 86, I believe. 85.
I know this because I saw it a couple weeks ago, and I was surprised.
Could be a tad earlier. I can't remember the exact. It's mid-80s.
I can't think of it now.
I'll give you a hint. You want a hint?
Wait, what's the genre you said?
It has no. Well, it's a science fiction film. Fiction thriller. It has nothing to do with any of the other films I just named he directed, like Eastern Promises, History of Violence. Or this film, for that matter.
Oh, damn. I know this.
Jeff Goldblum.
The Fly?
Yes.
Oh, man. You lose street cred for that.
Wow.
He that goes from The Fly to a film about, and I'll read you the tagline. This is A Dangerous Method. A look at how the intense relationship between Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud gives birth to psychoanalysis.
You know what? I kind of want to see that.
I kind of do, too. Anyway, it stars Michael Fassbender, who plays Carl Jung, and Viggo Mortensen, who plays Sigmund Freud, and then Keira Knightley. And she apparently is a patient of Fassbender's character, and they have an affair.
This sounds good.
The early reviews are... It's getting 7.3, so the Muppets are coming in higher. But you know how that is. In today's modern society, 7.8 is the early rating, and that's from about 400 viewers. But look, I mean, with today, the people who are going to see films aren't looking for quality. They're looking for a niche they can buy into.
Yeah.
Like vampires.
Like Muppets.
Or little cats in boots with swords. You know, he's a Spanish fencer.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know.
There's a lot of Spanish fencers out there.
Oh, yeah. Anywho, this film doesn't look bad. It looks probably, you know, it intrigues me more than the other films opening this weekend.
Yeah. Let's Are we ready for some news? Or
getting there. Also, opening this weekend, and I'll just hit on the names of this. My Week with Marilyn, which is about Marilyn Monroe. Arthur Christmas, which is a little early for Christmas. It's about an elf, apparently, or a kid
seeing
Santa. It's animated, probably 3D, and The Artist, and I know nothing about that film.
Okay.
Time for the news.
All right. That's what I was waiting for.
And I will hold off on the one you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Got a little Dark Knight Rises.
Oh,
back in the news.
Good.
Apparently, because the movie Mission Impossible 3 Ghost Protocol will be such a colossal piece of shit, or maybe not, they're going to bump up sales for those tickets by announcing that there will be a prologue 6 to 7 minute opening sequence of Dark Knight Rises in IMAX viewings prior to Ghost Protocol.
Guess what?
For Dark Knight Rises.
I'm going to go see Ghost Protocol, I guess. Or the first 7 minutes of it.
Right, first 7 minutes.
I'm out, guys. Leave. See ya.
So you pay your $15 IMAX ticket or whatever it is just for 7 minutes. And I'm not arguing with that.
No?
It's just the IMAX. Wouldn't that make it to the internet, though?
Just IMAXs.
Oh, God. Dude, that IMAX gives me a headache. Have you ever seen a 3D movie in IMAX?
Here we go. I said I'd seen one 3D film, and I didn't see it in IMAX.
I saw Avatar in 3D on IMAX. Awesome movie, but I came out of there feeling like my head was going to explode. I felt awful. But it was really cool.
Well, apparently Christopher Nolan has done this before, and it slipped our minds. He did the same thing for The Dark Knight prior to I Am Legend.
Yeah.
And we saw that opening night, I Am Legend.
They had the bank heist scene in the movie, in the
prologue. the first segment, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, where the Joker comes out in the school bus and all that stuff.
Well, apparently they're going to do the same thing for Dark Knight Rises before Mission Impossible 3, which opens, they're going to start doing this December 21st. And Dark Knight Rises is scheduled to open July 30th.
This is smart on Hollywood's part, in my opinion, and Christopher Nolan's, because you show 7 minutes of your film, you get most people who wouldn't come out go to Mission Impossible.
I mean, most Scientologists that went to see, you know, Tom Cruise play his little spy bit.
Yeah, I mean, good move, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't care about Mission Impossible, but
no,
you might go see it just to see this.
Yep.
But don't you think that'll make it to the internet pretty quickly? So you don't have to actually go.
Probably be pirated. Look terrible.
Yeah. And
like on Seinfeld, where they pirate that movie.
Yeah.
Anywho, moving on. And you hit on this earlier. Demi Moore has announced that she is divorcing Ashton Kutcher after 6 years of marriage. Apparently, the straw that broke the camel's back was the alleged affair that occurred in September that I missed at the time, somehow, but definitely read up on it today, that Kutcher had in San Diego with a 22-year-old Sarah Leal. Apparently, she was at a party in San Diego, and he was next door. Walked into the party. This is her direct quote. "He just came up and kissed me."
I thought this chick's name was Brittany.
No, this chick is a blonde-haired Sarah, 22-year-old, said he just came up and kissed me. Now, there may be another Brittany because this is about to get interesting.
Nah, I think she claims
that she ended up in a hot tub naked with Kutcher, or Kutcher, however you say his name, and another girl. And to make matters worse, this occurred on Ashton and Demi's 6th anniversary.
Now, is this... I mean, she was consensual with all this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's quoted as saying, his towel came off and we had sex. And then she says, he was good.
Because that was necessary
right,
for her to say
right.
that.
Right, it was necessary.
I mean, Ashton Kutcher's like, well, yeah, you know, Demi Moore, this girl says, whatever. Dude.
I don't know what that impression was.
Dude.
Dude.
Yeah. That was just him being him. Dude.
Is there a less talented guy in Hollywood?
That makes more money?
Right.
Okay.
What is he?
Are you done with this story? Because I have more to add.
Yeah, that's all my notes except for whatever we're going to talk about.
Oh, this is going to get way better. Okay. Last week, see, when you ride to work at 5:15 in the morning and there's nothing else on the radio because you don't have XM because you're too cheap to pay for it, you listen to talk radio, local talk radio, and they have random segments on Hollywood. Last week, Chelsea Handler is...
Of Chelsea Lately,
I believe, is good friends with one of the... Either Kuchar or Demi Moore.
I'm not sure which.
Anyway, they talked to whichever party, probably Demi, I guess. It was Demi.
I'm speculating.
It was Demi, actually. And she... Chelsea said that she kind of alluded to there being some weird relational dynamics between the two of them. Well, after they did some more research, they said, reading between the lines, that Demi and Ashton are threesomes all the time.
I mean,
a very open relationship. And Demi says that as long as you tell me what's going on and she can come over and I can join in, it's cool.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Wow. Well,
furthermore, they speculated that the reason that he and Demi broke up, or that Bruce Willis and Demi broke up, was because of this. Because Bruce didn't want to do that. That wasn't cool with him. But Demi wanted to go out and get other girls and then join all.
Talk about a moral dilemma.
So, apparently the relationship is cool with Demi as long as she knows who the girl is and you bring her back.
So Ashton very well could have just got his wires crossed.
Ashton just didn't say anything to her.
I thought you said any two girls. Oh, me, okay.
Any two girls anywhere.
Sorry, I was confused.
Forgot you were the common denominator.
Yeah, so as long as he had permission from her, it was cool if it eventually ended up her coming back. So
wow.
Demi could play. So, yeah. I'll let you comment on that bit of info.
My comment is...
Is there a luckier son of a bitch in Hollywood?
That's a strange thing for grounds to divorce someone if your relationship is already like that.
Well, I mean...
Just cross that line.
It's cheating, apparently, to them is not disclosing who you're sleeping with. And from what
By the way, how old is she? She's got to be like 50.
She's 49, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe close. Yeah, late 40s.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
I saw striptease. I'm not going to argue with having it.
It's in her blood.
A few years back, a rumor similar to this come out about Will and Jada Pinkett?
Yeah.
Not threesomes,
it
but
comes
they're
out
swingers.
About every Hollywood couple.
They're swingers, but I think this is there's some pretty heavy truth to this, because I heard some clips of the interview Chelsea Handler.
Well, see, if I was Demi Moore, I would slap her. Why would you go on a radio show?
Unless she gave her permission to say as much.
She probably did.
Chelsea might have been involved.
But,
who knows?
Yeah, I know. Who knows? Ashton Kutcher, though. God.
So, on multiple levels, this guy is a moron.
Yeah. Complete idiot.
I don't think he's a moron.
What do you think?
He made one slightly bad decision.
He might be a genius. He's parlayed his no talent into...
It's going like 4 for 5 with 4 home runs and a flyout. That was his flyout.
A strikeout to end the game. Or to send it to extras because the game's not over at this point.
This is not...
Okay. Well, I just thought I would impart that bit of knowledge on you. And you would enjoy it.
Yeah, that's I can't even. That's weird and awesome and scary at the same time that that's going on. Anywho, moving right along. Little news out of the Sylvester Stallone camp. Apparently, Rocky is going musical. Mm. The Rocky, the musical, is set to premiere next November in Hamburg, Germany, or Hamburg, however you want to say it. Get who the co-producers are here. Vladimir and Vitaly
Klitschko,
yes, are co-producing. Former professional boxers are co-producing here. The musical will center on the relationship between Rocky and Adrian and not so much on the actual fighting. movie themes gonna fly now.
This would definitely be something Germans would want to see.
Yeah.
Because it is not something I want to see.
Eye of the Tiger and Gonna Fly Now will be featured in the musical ensemble.
Okay.
Along with new pieces. How do you do that?
It won't be
a
training montage, will it?
The whole thing might be a training montage for all I know. As long as they, you know, put in Burning Heart, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either, actually.
Anywho, I just thought that was crazy that Rocky is now a musical.
Yeah.
Also, further proof that Hollywood is out of ideas.
I know you were going to say that.
There is apparently a Tomb Raider reboot in the works.
Hmm. Sounds good.
Currently being produced by Graham King, who is one of the producers on the Scorsese film Hugo that we just discussed. Being written by the first Iron Man writers. Mark Fergus and Hawk Ostby. Pretty good team they're putting together here so far. No announcement on casting or anything to that effect.
I'm hoping Angelina Jolie will not be part of this team.
As far as I can tell, she will not be reprising her role. And this is the best part, though. I just love that they say this about all films. This is a direct quote from King, who's producing. The story that we're telling is really the story before she became Lara Croft. So it's a character piece.
Prequel.
I'm glad you caught the last part.
So it's a
character
piece.
Yeah.
That's the funniest crap I've ever heard.
Everyone says that.
It's a character
piece. Doesn't matter what film it is. I mean,
if you want to be cool in Hollywood, you say it's a character piece.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I'm going to this restaurant. It's you know, one of those cool farm to table type places.
Yeah.
Hit, new, you know, it's all organic. We're good. It's awesome.
Here's my thing.
Looking out for myself and the environment, I'm green.
How do you do a character piece on a video game icon where in the first video game, does it even tell much of a backstory? It just kind of drops you in a cave or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's the deal. Just say you like Chili's. It's pretty good. Even though it's warmed up, it's frozen. It's still pretty good. Hollywood, take some advice. Just say you kind of like Chili's.
Just say that you're going after another target audience, same as everyone else.
Yeah.
You're going after gamers who apparently were one of the 12 people that... Well, actually, the first two films didn't bomb. They did relatively well.
Yeah.
The critics just hated them.
Yeah.
And I'm not a critic, but I hated them.
Just because you say it's a character piece doesn't mean it's going to be good.
No.
It doesn't. It means it's trendy, but that doesn't mean anything to me.
I mean, if you throw a lot of money at a movie, you get, at the time, the biggest female actress out there to lead, Angelina, who is currently typecast in those roles every time of badass women. And you get decent support, and you have a lot of visual effects. You think it's going to be awesome. However, Michael Bay is finding out people don't like that, critic-wise.
Michael Bay is laughing straight to the bank, my friend.
I said critic-wise.
Okay, he doesn't care.
Oh, I know he doesn't care. Anywho, that's all I got.
All right.
Hollywood out.
Wes is out.
Hey, give us a little bit more of that.
Well,
Wes, go.
Did a little remix there.
Yeah, we just need some turntables.
We got Diddy spinning that shit.
All right, guys. So, are we going to be able to defeat Tech this weekend?
Yes.
The root of all evil.
We can. Hopefully we will.
And I hope we accidentally start a fire in the visitors' locker room as we're leaving. Burn the place to the ground.
I just hope Ben Jones eats a little bit more of that Bobby Dodd field turf.
Hopefully they'll rip up the bleachers in that upper deck section so they'll move it.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
It's not a bad idea.
I don't know.
I mean, the guys got away with it. No five. Let's try it.
Yeah. Jackhammer would be effective also.
Yes.
I don't know if I
could. Wrecking ball, perhaps.
I don't know if I could stuff that in my shoe, though.
There's been a few eventful things in that stadium. We saw John Rocker. What year was that, 08?
And his most likely.
It would have been 07.
It was 05, wasn't it?
Dark skin.
05 was when I was there for the.
Playmate, girlfriend, yes, whoever he was with, which. Was funny because he was getting all kinds of flack for being
a racist. And his girlfriend looked like an FHM model of non-Caucasian descent.
It was the most ironic thing I've ever seen, basically.
Let's just put it this way. If she wasn't working at the time, she should have been.
But anyway, other than that, you can always find us at hedgestarwood@gmail.com or Hedges to the numeral Hardwood on Twitter. Also, check out our Facebook page.
Yes.
Wes was supposed to be heading that up, but I believe he's having some internet connection issues.
Ooh.
Which have fixed yet to be
today.
Solved.
Fixed today.
Fixed today.
Oh, well, nice.
People have been clamoring for your material.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you.
Also, check out our YouTube channel, which we're very devoted to.
All this stuff is on the page as well.
You can find it on our page on our site. Amazon links as well.
Yes.
All right. Hopefully next week will we be back post regular season, ready to kick some LSU Bengal Tiger Swamp Jungle Cat hind end
anus.
And anyway, graphic. Have a happy Thanksgiving out there, folks. Yes.
Gobble gobble.
All right. Till next week. I'm Marty.
Doggo.
And I'm Wes. Keep the change, you filthy animal.